My next guest is, he's a great friend, first of all, but showed me Manchester and Manchester United like you could never have been shown. Went on a trip with him overseas. You know him as Tom Clare. He is the author who wrote The Men Who Were the Busby Babes, also wrote Manchester United, The Original Trinity, and also with Ian McCartney, he wrote The United Tour of Manchester. He grew up in Manchester. The Busby Babes were his heroes, and he joins us now. He is Tom Clare. Tom, how are you?
I'm good, Glenn. It's very, very nice to hear you and good to join you.
Always nice to talk with you, too. Now, you and I have talked about this next topic a lot. Dementia has struck the world of football. We've lost another great one in the legendary Nobby Styles, 66 World Cup winner, European Cup. The list of the names that we have lost now goes on and on. And you really opened my eyes to the fact that the PFA and the FA has really not done much for this, what is now becoming a bygone generation. And some of these, you know, great players are just dying in obscurity, and nobody's really paying a whole lot of attention to them. Take us into some of this.
Yeah, well, you know, it all went back way back to around about 1998, when there was the first signs that dementia was becoming a problem in the game in UK. And the PFA actually did a study. They paid for a study to be held. There was 115 young players that they decided to monitor and have a look at. Now, nothing was heard of for over 10 years. And not until Jeff Astle, the former England inter centre forward, West Bromwich and England centre forward, died from dementia, did this all come to light again. And what happened? Jeff Astle's brain was given to the medical people, and they had a look at it, and they found that the findings of what they did was that his brain was akin to that of a boxer's, the guy who's been hit about the head so much. And it was decided at the end that the cause of his death was down to industrial injury, which is what his family were fighting for. Now, the PFA and the FA vehemently opposed this. They said there was no correlation with it whatsoever. And they dug their heels in. And the study that they'd done in 1998 was buried and could never be found. And they said it was completed, but they can't remember what the findings were. So this is where I got involved with it, because I knew that Nobby Styles was suffering from it. And I started to do some research. And when you looked at it, you know, from that 1966 World Cup winning team, Ray Wilson, Nobby Styles, Jack Charlton, Bobby Charlton, Roger Hunt, and Martin Peters have all succumbed to dementia. So I was digging more, and I was amazed when I found out that there were, without even looking too hard, I came up with over 200 people, well-known players who died from dementia or were suffering from it. And I made a big song and dance about it, and because I was appalled that the PFA and the FA were doing absolutely nothing, and they were opposing anything, with a further investigation a look at, you know, why this was happening. Since then, there have been so many players who've died from it and who are suffering from it. You know, I mean, Tommy Smith, Billy McNeil, so many great players, and
Peter
they've
Bonetti.
Had no help. No help whatsoever from the PFA or the FA. And it's been left to the families to bear the brunt of this. And of course, the nursing side of it's expensive. And in a lot of ways, they've had to sell their descendants have had to sell their homes to pay for the care for their loved ones. And, it was absolutely appalling to me, you know, that the PFA, you know, many of the families appealed to the PFA for help, and they were just rebuffed. You know, so it really is a bad situation, Glenn.
Tom Clare joining us, the noted author. I recommend that you read his books. You can find him online. All you got to do is Google Tom Clare and Manchester United, The Men Who Were the Busby Babes. Tom, The other thing that, you know, we have to remember too, is, you know, these guys didn't make the money that's being made now. So, you know, some of these players and their families and their wives have, to your point, not really been helped out the way these legends have, because after all, they have paved the way. These names are incredible. I mean, Nobby Styles is another one, and we just lost him. Tell us about Nobby.
Oh, no, Nobby. Well, I've known Nobby. Well, I did know Nobby from school days. He was just a little older than me, but our families, my grandfather and Nobby's father, were great friends and worked with each other closely at St. Patrick's Church in Colliest and also in local politics there. And I got to know Nobby as a young boy, you know, and they were a staunch Manchester United family, and Nobby, you know, I saw him play for St. Patrick's, and then he went on for Manchester Boys, Lancashire, and played for England Schoolboys. And there was only one club that he was ever going to join, and of course that was Manchester United, which he did in 1957. And he joined, you know, that really great team, that great staff that was there then, the Busby Babes. But sadly, 6 months after he joined was the tragic Munich disaster, and of course, you know, it did the upheaval in the club and everything. So a lot of the young players were pushed forward, and at 15 and 16, Nobby was already playing in the reserve team, and he went on to make his debut in 1960 against Bolton Wanderers at Burnham Park, and he became something of a fixture. But in those days, he was an inside forward. He's what we would say was an attacking midfielder today. And he was very good, you know, but Jimmy Murphy saw something in him, and there was a bit of a problem with him. He kept picking up bookings and what today are yellow cards and everything. And Harry Gregg, who I visited last December, actually told me the story. He said, I kept watching him in training. He said, and his mistiming of tackles was terrible. He said, I got a hold of him, and he said, I asked him, I said, is your sight bothering you? You know, and Nobby said, I've always had bad eyesight. So Harry Gregg went to see Matt Busby, and Busby got him off to see an optometrist, and of course that's where he was diagnosed with the bad eyesight, and where you know they countered it with the contact lenses and what have you, and that seemed to do the job. And there was in a few training matches where he played alongside Bill Foulkes at as a dual centre back, and it worked, and Jimmy Murphy, you know, said to Busby, you know, this is the partnership that we wanted. And he went there and he played alongside Bill Foulkes for nearly 5 years, 5-6 years, you know. And of course, he forced his way into the England team in 1965. He played in his first international, which I saw at Wembley when he played against Scotland in a 2-2 draw. And between then and 1969, he was hardly out of the side. And of course, he was a member of that wonderful World Cup winning team in 1966. But Nobby was a fierce competitor, but he was also a very bright player. He read the game well. What a lot of people don't realise about Nobby, he was tenacious in the tackle, but he could also pass the ball as well, you know. And he was a great addition and a good partner for the granite type of centre half that Bill Foulkes was.
Tom, I only have 20 seconds with you, and you're going to have to answer this very, very quickly. Is Manchester United doing enough for these former legends?
No. Neither Manchester United, the Football League, the Premier League, the PFA, they've all got the money, Glenn, and if they all put £10 million into a foundation fund, the care homes could be built and maintained to look after these people.
We're going to leave it at that. Tom, you're the best. We thank you so much for coming on, and I'm going to be talking to you soon, buddy.
It's my pleasure, Glenn. Always a pleasure to be on with you.
All right. Speaking of legends, well, Tom Clare's a legend. Forever a Babe, the men who were the Busby Babes, Manchester United, the original Trinity, and the United Tour of Manchester, Tom, with Ian McCartney. You got to read these books if you really want to go into the history and feel it, because it jumps off the pages. And the memory and the detail is off the charts. That's Tom Clare.